Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for the week of June 27th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris. And we got a bunch of stuff this week, so let's jump right in. And we'll kick things off with some trailers. And we actually got the first trailer this week for Hocus Pocus 2, the long-anticipated sequel to the cult Disney classic. Although, weirdly, I don't know if you know this, because like, there's like a box office bomb when it first came out in theaters. Then VHS and like Disney Channel like made Hocus Pocus like the cult favorite it is today.
That's really bizarre. Like, I definitely remember watching this in theaters and definitely having like a fandom. But I understand, because there's like, it was that era where like Disney movies weren't hip to watch yet.
Yeah.
So I get it, where over time it's been more appreciated. But it's just like The Nightmare Before Christmas, where anything kind of gothic and Disney like was not in until like, I don't know. I think it was like we're in high school. Was that like that like secret fandom of it, the cult favorite, really shook the like people out of the woodworks to be like, oh yeah, I was a fan. And then you just saw more products. And then even now, like there's way more Hocus Pocus products than ever.
Yeah, and it's definitely ramped up in recent years, because like, it's even like was it Freeform does like 24 hours of Hocus Pocus. It's basically like, it's like A Christmas Story for TBS, but like Hocus Pocus is like for Freeform is like their Christmas story. But yeah, we're getting a new we're getting a sequel on Disney Plus. It's gonna hit on September 30th, and the original trio's back. So Kathy and Jimmy, Bette Midler, and Sarah Jessica Parker are back as the Sanderson sisters, and it's like a group of young girls in Salem like are doing some sort of like ritual or like trying like do some like witch stuff of their own, and they accidentally caused the black candle to get relit, so that brings the Sanderson sisters back, and they're looking for revenge on Salem.
Yep. Very simple premise. I feel like they just, because what do you like more about the movie first? Did you like the family and the whole like virgin aspect of it, or do you like the Sanderson sisters just trying to get reacquainted with technology and people?
I mean, the first movie is all about just like the Sanders sisters just like running around and like terrorizing people and like making jokes, fish out of water jokes about buses and whatever others, like flying on a vacuum cleaner and stuff.
Yeah, so. If I'm not sure the last time you saw it, but that's like half of the movie. Like there's the other half where it's basically just Max and his sister getting used to the town and making enemies.
Yeah.
So we've eliminated that part, because it seems like it's mostly like Wiccan friends.
Yeah, it's like the group of young girls are like they were trying to be witches of their own or something, or trying to like do like weird like Halloween witchcraft stuff or Wiccan stuff, and they accidentally caused the black candle to get relit.
It's funny because like it's the same town of whatever Massachusetts this is.
Yeah, Salem, yep.
It's real Salem?
I think so, yeah. I think the original one was set in Salem, too.
But, like, they always, like, forget the legend.
Yeah.
It's only, like, a small group of people still, like, remember the Sanders sisters.
In this new trailer, it seems like there's, like, they, like, the Sanders sisters become, like, a kind of, like, this, like, pop, like, kind of pop culture cult thing, or, like, where it's like, oh, you guys are dressed as the Sanders sisters, get on stage, like.
Well, I guess that happened the first time, where, like, they somehow recognized the Sanders sisters, or...
I don't know the first time if they recognized them, or just like, oh, you guys are just, you're like witches, like, cool, or whatever, but now I think in this one it's...
There was one guy, remember the devil?
Yeah.
He was, like, the Sanders sisters, he recognized it, so, like, it's a generational gap in this town, but it's funny. I mean, I'm definitely, like, interested in watching it. Maybe they'll make some, like, food-related tie-in.
I don't think they do that for, like, Disney Plus stuff. I don't think
they... They really don't. But you know, I mean, like, I'm already kind of like, we're losing food times for some
Yeah.
things already, but like streaming two movies, it's like even less.
Jurassic World had some crazy, like, whatever that, where was it? Like, the Primal menu, did you see that?
No, where's that?
It was at, was it like, oh, Carl's Jr. and Hardee's had, like, it was like the Primal menu, and it had like, it was a burger, but that it was like a burger, but it had like I think like sliced prime rib or something, or like roast beef on it or something. Yeah,
I think Domination had like a popcorn bucket.
Well, this is for Dominion. This is for Dominion. It was like the,
A Dominion, yeah.
yeah, it was yeah, it was a burger with sliced prime rib and onion rings and like a special like amber barbecue sauce. And I think like, was it Denny's has, or IHOP has like crazy minion stuff, because they always have crazy minion stuff.
I think it's IHOP. IHOP
Yeah.
had IHOP and like Adam's Family. I remember I got like the Adam's Family like pancake. It just had like spider web designs on it, and then it had like, I mean, it was
Yeah.
very like festive. I enjoyed it. It was like silly enough. I like didn't mind it.
Well, I think last year, was it like Carvel or something had like a Hocus Pocus milkshake or something?
What?
So maybe there'll be something.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some food tied. I'm, you know. We're
There
always a
was
fucker.
yeah
We're always a sucker for them.
there wasn't even yeah there wasn't even any like it was just like Hocus Pocus is just Halloween now, so it's just like there's stuff for it, even if there's nothing related to it. But now there's an actual movie, yeah, there should be like some more stuff tied into it. But I guess we'll find out in September, I guess, before the movie comes out. Maybe after the movie comes out in October, maybe there'll be stuff. But yeah, Disney Plus on September 30th. Get ready for Hocus Pocus 2. Hopefully it lives up to the 30 years of build up that we've had. And then we also got the trailer this week for season 3 of Harley Quinn, which is going to be back on HBO Max on July 28th. Which did you see all have you are you totally caught up on Harley Quinn, Chris, or
No.
did you see season
I took
two
a
or
break. Yeah, I'm on season two. I don't remember where I left off.
Well, I mean the whole show has been great so far, and then season three looks like it's just gonna keep going with like all the crazy this like crazy DC world they've set up.
I do like how they just ran from the source material, but they are honoring it in weird ways.
Well, it's I mean, it's so meta, and like, I mean, they're like, I think James Gunn is gonna appear as himself in season
Yeah.
three, and like the movies exist, and like it's like they mentioned the Snyder Cut, and like they like reference like multiple versions of like characters and stuff. So
Well, they did that thing where I think the first season they did meta where it's like people watching Harley Quinn. Do you remember that? Like one teaser.
yeah, well, that was like the beginning of one episode. It was like an angry nerd guy. It was just like it was like a whole like riff on like the Snyder Cut, like release the Snyder Cut thing.
So on the side note, I just entered a black hole of looking at AMC like movie tie-in foods.
Oh,
And it's
God.
just like popcorn buckets with like Thor's hammer,
Yeah.
Thor Love and Thunder like cocktail that they serve. If you go to Jurassic Park, you could have got the Jurassic World Dominion like popcorn bucket tin.
You and I are talking about like fast food tires, so
Yeah, but I mean that's the
that's what we're
closest
always
thing
talking
we'll
about.
get.
yeah
Yeah, but that's the closest thing we can get right now. So I'm just
yeah
thinking in other releases and shows, it's just like, things that normally ever got to the peak of popularity would become food. I would imagine if Harley Quinn was in the 90s, it would have been like a food item also. It would have been like a weird like ice cream or like or an icy. And since it's like, okay, well, you can't really do that for like an adult DC TV show, just thinking, There is no, like, is there toy lines for Harley Quinn?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's like, it's strange, or it's like, oh yeah, like, kid toys, kid shows, like, sell toys, but adult shows also sell toys, but they just haven't figured out how to make Harley Quinn stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything specifically for, like, the HBO Max show. I mean, obviously there's, like, a million different Harley Quinn figures you get, but... But yeah, I mean, yeah, season 3 looks great. The main goal is they're trying to fulfill Poison Ivy's like goal of like she wants to like turn Gotham into like a plant garden, basically like a overrun Gotham with plants. And then also like the Joker's back and like up to like some sort of new scheme. Like he's possibly like running for mayor or something. So yeah, lot, and then all the main like gang is back, like Clayface and King Shark and Frank the Plant and stuff. So yeah, hopefully yeah. I mean, it's hopefully it's as good as the first season, which there's no reason to doubt it won't be as great. So I would say definitely catch up before season 3, Chris, and then jump in. Yeah.
You know what it is? I kind of like pace myself to watch it, and then I ended up like too much pacing where I just like put like weeks between episodes. And I ended up just like caught on something else.
Well, I finally was able to catch up at it. Well, before HBO Max even was a thing, like because this was like a DC whatever with DC Universe or whatever with the standalone streaming service.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was the big original like selling point for that, and then. They started airing it like on Sci-Fi Channel of all places.
Like it's weird to watch it like edit it down. Like
it was edited though, because Sci-Fi is like pretty much on Sci-Fi. I think like, FX and Sci-Fi and AMC are pretty much like just whatever. I think it's after like 10 o'clock. It's just like whatever the hell you want to do. Like you drop F bombs. Like I mean USA like the Chucky and like the Purge are just like. They're like airing on cable after 10. It's like they drop F bombs whenever they want and like violence. I think the only thing is like you can't have like crazy nudity, but it's like everything else is pretty much fair game. I mean, we saw with like Happy. Like Happy was basically an HBO show, but that was on Sci-Fi.
I always forget that was a Sci-Fi show, and it was like so it, on Netflix.
It's on Sci-Fi, but push it a little bit slightly farther would be The Boys or something. It's like almost close to that level of craziness.
Yeah. That's another like if they couldn't get whoever's directing The Boys, they could have got Aaron Taylor Johnson to like do The Boys and it'd be good. I feel like the Boys is like it's got the formula down pack.
Wait, Aaron, are you talking about the directors?
Yeah,
like the crank guys.
Like one of those crank guys.
Was it Brian Taylor was the one behind Happy, right? Because it was Neville Dean Taylor are the crank guys, but then Brian Taylor they split up. Yeah.
One guy went to that. The other guy went to.
I was gonna say because Aaron Taylor Johnson is kick ass, so I was like,
I always confuse him.
Was he in Happy?
No. You know what I mean? Like I'm just. Yeah. It's like it's that insanity of action.
Yeah.
Because I just think the other guy. What did the other guy do?
Neville Dean.
Yeah.
I think he did like that the Vatican tapes or something. And he just did was like that Mel Gibson movie Panama. That just came out like a couple weeks ago.
I do miss the era of Neville Dean Johnson.
Which I haven't seen yet, but I mean it looks like there's behind the scenes shots of like Neville Dean on his rollerblades with the camera, so the like maybe like it might have like some of the old school like crank style camera work and stuff that they had. Because yeah. There's the whole thing like they were just like on like Ghost Rider or Crank they would just like drag themselves behind motorcycles and rollerblades and like film that way. And
right,
stuff,
extreme so. Filmmaking that is just dangerous. which is cool. You know, it's cool. I just kind of miss that era of like action.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, Harley Quinn. That's going to be end of July on HBO Max. And then our last trailer for this week is we got the trailer for See How They Run, which is a new kind of whodunit, which whodunits are definitely having a resurgence recently. Like, we have Knives Out and the upcoming Knives Out sequels. We got, like, there's that Hulu show, like, Only Murders in the Building. There's, like, the, even though they're, like, kind of insane, like, the Kenneth Branagh, like, Poirot movies. But yeah, See How They Run is a star Sam Rockwell as a kind of like world weary, like kind of fed up inspector in London who gets called to the West End because there's like a murder, like a Hollywood filmmaker gets murdered directing like a film adaptation of a popular play. And then pretty much everyone in the in the film production is like a suspect in the classic like whodunit fashion. And then Sam Rockwell gets paired up with like Saoirse Ronan, who's like a very super eager like rookie cop constable, and so they have that kind of like that like dynamic of, like she's like super excited and like eager to, like solve the crime, and Sam Rockwell is like fed up and couldn't care less about anything.
I guess it's like the jaded detective and the like eager clumsy detective, because she seems like she's. I like how the running joke, which they kind of ruined in the trailer, is that she's blaming everyone.
Every single time they get like one piece of information, she just accuses that person of murder.
It's funny because it's like playing Clue and just like accusing all the people. You ever play Clue like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you can end Clue if you just get really lucky the first try, but. Otherwise, I think, like, if you accuse someone in Clue, like, you're done in the game.
Well, if you accuse and you say, like, oh, that's my final guess, you look in the envelope, then if you're wrong, then that you're done or whatever. But you could, the whole point is, like, you just have to, like, make, like, guesses, then you could just, like, see people's cards and stuff. But, yeah. Yeah, she's basically, Saoirse Ronan is basically just doing, like, I'm going to look at the envelope every time.
Yeah. And I think we even talked, you mentioned like, yeah, the resurgence of the whodunit comes back and it's only a matter of time till they remake Clue.
I mean, they were talking about it. There was like a Jason Bateman, Ryan Reynolds version that was like talked about years ago. Nothing has come of that so far, but that was like the last thing we heard is like Ryan Reynolds was going to do a Clue remake.
Well, it makes sense because like. If they got it before the trend came back, that would be one thing. But if they get it now, right when the, not the peak, I feel like it's still time for it to peak. But, you know, it just like, oh, just kind of white noise it with everything else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you and I were talking about before we started recording, Chris, too, but this movie also has like a very like Wes Anderson vibe. Like if
lot,
Wes Anderson directed, like,
cast.
It's like if Wes Anderson directed Knives Out, this basically be it. It's not as crazy like visually as like Wes Anderson. It's not like as like the crazy like pastels and like set, like it's more, it's like actual like realistic locations, but like the characters and kind of like the humor and stuff is very Wes Anderson.
Everyone's like a character. Everyone's a quirky character who
yeah,
has a lot to say.
And yeah, Adrian Brody is the person who got murdered, and it looks like we're gonna kind of get flashbacks of who, leading up to like his murder, and like maybe is like clues to figure out who did it. And then some of like the suspects are like David Oyelowo and Ruth Wilson and Harris Dickinson. And yeah, it's gonna be September 30th in theaters, so you can check that out when it comes out. And then moving on, we got some news this week that Cameron Diaz is coming back. She retired in 2018 after like her last movie was Annie, like the Sony remake of Annie, like from 2018 or around them.
I didn't know she retired.
I didn't either. I was just like when I read the news like Cameron Diaz is unretired. I'm like, oh yeah, she hasn't been anything in like a couple years. Now we know why. But she's going to be back co-starring with Jamie Foxx for a Netflix action comedy called appropriately Back in Action. And there's not really any sort of plot details, but Seth Gordon, who directed Horrible Bosses, is directing it. And yeah, it's just Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz teaming up for some sort of action comedy on Netflix.
How is this movie not called Night and Day?
Jamie Foxx was to have some sort of crazy just like deal with Netflix. Like he's just like in like he's just like every year he has a Netflix movie now.
I'm assuming they paid him a crazy amount.
Yeah, because he had Power last year. He's got Day Shift this year. And then yeah, this will be sometime in the year, like next year, like 2023, 2024 probably. And then yeah, he's supposed to have like one of those like Adam Sandler deals or something. It's like multiple picture deal with Netflix. But and it's not clear, like, so Cameron Diaz is coming back for this, but it's not clear if this is like a one-time thing or if she's gonna be back full-time after this, but we'll see. Hopefully if this does well, she'll be back. And speaking of Netflix stuff, we also found out about a new Netflix movie that's coming out from the Cobra Kai guys, who are like all over the place with like a bunch of stuff, but they are... they actually have a new it's an action comedy series that's coming to Netflix called Obliterated. And actually it has a pretty hilarious premise where it's like a special forces team basically rolls into Las Vegas and stops like a nuclear bomb from going off, or like some sort of like bomb destroying the city. And then they're in Vegas to start partying, and then the next day when they're like hungover and they learn that like they didn't actually stop the bomb. There's the actual bomb still out there somewhere. So basically, it's like now that like solved like find this bomb like hungover and like dealing with it. It's basically like The Hangover, but mixed with like Rainbow Six or something. Thing. Yeah, it's like Rainbow Six mixed with like The Hangover or something. And Nick Zano from Legends of Tomorrow is going to be starring in it along with Shelley Hennig, which she was in Teen Wolf. And it's gonna be an 8-episode Netflix show. Which I'm sold on the premise of this Rainbow Six Special Forces team, and then they're like it turns out they're like super competent, and they're having to like make their way through Vegas like drunk and like hungover and whatever else has happened, and like,
the crazy thing is, like, why are they the only ones looking for it? Like, shouldn't they have backup where it's like, oh, like, were you the best of the best? And you just got horribly hungover. It's like, all right, call the second best then.
Yeah. I'm sure, hopefully they explain why they can't, like, call their team in on the show.
I mean, it's kind of like Reno 911, the movie, where they explain that they were the only cops like who weren't like infected by like a virus.
Yeah.
So that kind of made sense to why they were doing everything. So I hope they address that in this upcoming movie.
Well, it's gonna be a show, but
a show.
And no release date, but that'll be coming up soon on Netflix. And then we also got some news about James Bond. Although it's not really great news for fans, but apparently the new James Bond, whatever it's going to be, is probably not going to start shooting until at least 2024 or possibly even later than that. So we got quite a while until we see like whatever the new version of James Bond is going to be in theaters.
That sucks, but...
And obviously, this is like the probably part of that is probably like the new deal because like Amazon basically owns half of James Bond now, and then the Broccoli family owns the other half. So Amazon, it's a new company running it, and they have to figure out their like partnership with the Broccolis, and you gotta find who's gonna be the new James Bond, which is like probably gonna be like a crazy casting, like super long casting process.
You think they're gonna like hardcore, like reboot the Bond to be like a starting fresh point, or do a sort of, hey, here's like a Bond tale, like with different actor, but well, sort think, of like, oh, he's so, it's like year four for Bond.
So Barbara Broccoli said like it's gonna be it's a reinvention of Bond. We're reinventing who he is, and that takes time. So I'd say filming is at least 2 years away.
Maybe they'll do one before he's a 00.
That'd be interesting.
Like he gets the 00 at the end.
James Bond Jr. He's in that he's in that weird like high school for spies or whatever it was. I feel like they have to, like, I don't know if they can go like as like serious as the Daniel Craig movies. I feel like they have to kind of like lighten it up a little bit and like move back towards like the like maybe not all the way to, like Roger Moore like zaniness side, but like move the needle back that way a little bit. Like maybe like toward like more like a Pierce Brosnan level or something.
Yeah, I want Bond to have fun at the job. I don't want him to be like, I can't wait to quit.
Yeah, because I mean, because we're also like, because obviously the Daniel Craig series is also like post-Bourne, and everyone's trying to like copy the Bourne movies, but we're also, I mean, we're past that. Like now I feel like Bond has to be like, you gotta have like John Wick style. You gotta have like really like super choreographed action sequences. Now is like the thing they probably have to like kind of like maybe factor in to Bond now. Because that's what like, that's the big action trend now is like the John Wick like super choreographed fight sequences and like you know like wide shots so you can see everything and martial arts and all that stuff. So
yeah, I mean that's the new. Even Star Wars has that type of choreography that's like John Wick.
Yeah,
I recently saw that Vader and Obi-Wan fight and it's just like a John Wick fight.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so a while before we hear probably hear anything about what's going on with Bond, but yeah, as soon as we hear something, I'm sure we'll talk about it on the show. And then last bit of news is we got a date for the next Ghostbusters movie. So the sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which Ghostbusters Afterlife 2, or it doesn't have an official title yet, but it's going to be December 20th next year, so December 20th, 2023. And it is going to pick up from like the after credit scene or the end credit scene from Afterlife where Winston like buys the firehouse back and like reopens it. So it's going to be set back in New York City at the firehouse dealing with like whatever threat is happening in New York City that paranormal wise.
You know, I bet it's just be called Ghostbuster, you know, Lost in New York or whatever.
Yeah.
Even though they're from it, they're lost in it.
My only hope is please come up with either a new villain or like pull him like a serial villain from like the Real Ghostbusters or something. Like, we don't need fucking Gozer or Vigo or like any, like, come up with something new, please.
Yeah, come up with a new big bad. Don't just be like, yeah, it's Gozer again. Why? Yeah. Because.
Or it's like, well, Gozer's back, but now Vigo's back. Oh no. Like,
if people shit on the second movie sometimes, but at least it was a whole different, like, original villain.
I would be down. The only way, like, Viggo could come back if it's, like, in the game where they just have his painting in the firehouse and he just shit-stalks people. like they just kept his painting and he's just, like, he's still a painting, but he's just, like, but, like...
Oh, they, like, left him in the firehouse all these years for, years?
He can't do anything. Like, he's powerless now, but he just, like, still is, like, just, like, talking to them. Like just, like, hey, little girl! I am Viggo! Like...
Is it the new millennia again? No? Yeah. All right. See you in like 1,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Come up with something new or like, I mean, yeah, like the, like watching like Real Ghostbusters, like on the Ghostbusters YouTube channel, like every week, it's like, there's like, they have so many like just like creative, like crazy ghosts you could like pull from there. Like even like, they even had like Cthulhu at one point. So it's like,
they did?
Yeah. They fought Cthulhu at one point on the Real Ghostbusters. So I mean, just, literally, you could literally do anything. Just like just do something like new and original, not like something that we have already seen before in Ghostbusters.
I think my most memorable like villain is just the Dream Master guy, the guy that's just like a pumpkin head.
Well, he was that was Samhain. He was like the spirit of Halloween.
Oh, was he?
So that was like every Halloween, like he would like kind of like that was his whole thing. Like he wanted like he's like most powerful at Halloween. And he would always try to make Halloween like last forever. That was his whole like deal.
See, just make that. Just okay, Ghostbusters during Halloween. Hell yeah.
Which I mean, I guess it doesn't fit with this movie because it's gonna be in December. So like maybe like a Christmas threat or something. I don't know. Like there was.
They fight Krampus.
There was a real Ghostbusters where they basically like ended up in like a Christmas Carol and they like fought like the ghosts from like Scrooge.
I thought they captured one and it's like, oh, you shouldn't have done that.
They accidentally captured them. And they basically like destroyed Christmas because they ended up like they got sent back in time and then they captured the like ghosts, all the ghosts of Christmas past, present, future, and then so Scrooge never got like his like. Character changed, so they got back into like present day. It's like Christmas doesn't exist anymore.
But you know what's crazy? That's a fictional thing. That's not historical things, and it's just somehow that messed up the real world.
Yeah, well, I guess in that universe, like that was a real story or something. And also,
it's
like
it's like a fable tale too. So it's like it's a real story.
Yeah. But hopefully just something come up with something. That's my only thing is like come up with something new. Like you bring back the cast of Afterlife, like bring back whoever you want from the originals. But yeah, just come up with like some new interesting ghost threat. And yeah, I guess we'll find out in December next year if that is true or not. So that's it for news this week. So why don't you jump into show and tell? And Chris, did you see anything from last week or so here?
I caught up with the boys. Finally saw the Herogasm episode.
Yep, I saw that too. Which...
very quick Herogasm episode. Cool, but very like in the compared to the comic, very tough.
Was it like a whole like six episode like? Six issue arc or like a limited series or something in the
it's like four or six. It's very like limited and it's like it's a lot more going on. And the idea was that in Herogasm, like the boys are bugging the resort that they're all having this thing at. And mm-hmm. It's like all these like side characters that show up, all these like really messed up like conspiracy talk and like hush things the heroes are doing and hiding like the truth and sort of like They're like enjoying their time. Like it's meant for them to, they like oh they do a thing where they announce like a big superhero like battle like in space and they just ended up in this island because that's how they can avoid everything. So it's funny because then you hear like all these like characters sort of and it's like A-listers, B-listers, like it's everyone or like a good amount. You know, it's just like. In this version, it's just like unknown people, even though one of the characters, that Russian dude with the giant dick,
mm-hmm.
he's actually friends with the boys in the comic. He plays a lot bigger roles. But they really turned him down. And same thing with like the master, whatever. I forgot, like the comic book guy. But basically, there's a character, the guy that used to work at Bot for like the marketing.
Is he like the legend or something? Or
the legend, that's it.
Paul Reiser.
Yeah, Paul. Was it Paul? Yeah, so Paul Reiser is supposed to be the legend, who is supposed to be Stan Lee, like a weird version of Stan Lee in the comic. So it's like a different interpretation. He's fine because it's like he's sort of sleazy and stuff, but in the comic. The legend and Maeve actually have a son together. Because, like, Maeve is actually a little older, but her powers are a little different. So she's been around and, like, it's still sort of, like, ages slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like different interpretations, and I'm used to it by now because it's, like, it's never going to be comic perfect, but at least the comic book version showed another, like, alternate take on this. With a real take to me. But yeah, Herogasm gets downplayed. It's funny to see. I wanted to see more of those crazy things. You kind of get little previews. leading up to this, where like all the heroes are having sex and doing like kicky things and kind of using their powers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they made it seem like it would be this huge monumental thing. You know, I remember like the marketing and even like Amazon releasing presses like, hey, prepare yourself, Herogasm. Like, you might press the envelope, and I'm like, this is nothing. This is like a jackass stunt.
Yeah, it wasn't as absolutely crazy. Like the craziest thing was like probably like MM getting like just blasted with like jizz.
Yes, that's funny. But it wasn't as graphic as you think. It's like slime time, but everything's
yeah. White.
Though it was cool to see that fight at the end of that scene where
yep,
it's
kind of
a Soldier Boy.
Preview like this. I think probably for preview for this week. I think this week is the finale, right?
Is
or
it?
Two more weeks. I think it's two more weeks, maybe.
But it was cool. Like, it was fun to watch Butcher powered up and hold his own, and
mm-hmm.
Him and Soldier Boy having, like, an in-sync fight. You know? That is pretty cool. I like the humor about it. Like, the foreshadowing of just sort of like, hey, explaining Huey's power, just kind of being ridiculous at this moment. So, I got Boys has been very enjoyable. Definitely like a cheery, adult-rated superhero show you need after seeing so many like kid-friendly things.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it, right? What'd you think?
Oh yeah, I thought it was a great episode. Like it was more like the plot stuff was like actually like more like I thought it was just gonna be like a crazy just like nonsense episode. But like yeah, like stuff you said like the Homelander fight and stuff, it was actually like pretty like plot significant and stuff. So
yeah. That's the thing. It wasn't like a filler. It felt very, you're right. It's like plot significant episodes.
This has been fantastic, like as always. Like I mean, it's but The Boys is such a like fantastic show. So, oh, and then there are two more episodes. So there's like this week and then next week is the finale. So, yeah, I bet we won't get like another. Like I'm sure like the last episode is gonna be like the big like throwdown with Homelander, but like. Next week, this week might be like a build episode, or just like kind of like like refresh from home Herogasm.
I like, see that. It's like, kind of like you need a little downtime.
Yeah, get everyone back together and then gear up for the finale.
So, speaking of finales, I also watched the finale to Obi-Wan,
mm-hmm.
which was really good. Mm-hmm. Still a little strange because I then rewatched some of the other like Vader fights with Obi-Wan, like the episode 3 or 2. And I just got questions how like Vader doesn't really like have, like it's kind of like selective force powers. Like sometimes he can really do like really cool like force throwing and stuff. And then otherwise he's just sort of like, forgetful. You know, I don't, it could be the explanation of that, Obi-Wan make clouds his mind, like it makes him unfocused, so he can't do half the cool shit he can normally do.
Yeah, or he gets like overconfident, or like or just yeah, like his ego gets in the way, like whatever they were talking about, like the flashback fight where it's like, oh, you have to like Your zest to win will always like you have to control that, so you always lose.
Yeah, well, I mean that kind of makes sense when Vader just like he wins the early part of the fight, but then he loses because of reasons. It wasn't like Obi-Wan got like a cool like move in and that really threw Vader off, like. He seemed to be like doing fine. He wasn't doing his awesome like knee kicks like he was against the third sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, how do you go from that to then just like, oh, you're just forgetting things against Obi-Wan? And then Obi-Wan, he does that like anime thing where he just remembers and then he
explodes out. Yeah. He throws all the rocks at him and then, yeah.
Which is cool. But then again, he defeats him sort of. Yeah. And then he just walks away, which I don't understand. You know, I thought maybe like Vader would get like teleported out or someone would show up, you know, something like that.
How many people is Vader gonna kill between that end of that fight and then like
8 more years,
9 more years till No Hope, and then he blows up like, well, I guess he's participates in blowing up Alderaan, so it's like a billion people or whatever. So
yeah, so something's going not right about like Obi-Wan just sort of like
peace.
Yeah, this is not, like, yeah, he just like, this won't be a problem. Like the last time I left Anakin alive,
I showed you who the true master was. You learned your lesson. Like,
yeah, Vader did it.
Although it was really cool, like the Anakin's face half out, and you kind of like it was like Hayden Christensen's voice, but it was like warp into like Darth Vader's voice at certain words and stuff, and then go back and.
Yeah, that was cool.
This whole thing of
but my question is that like they just had that talk, and then Vader's kind of like took a nap, like I. You know what I mean? Like it didn't add much after that. It just, oh hey, you know, it's me under here. It's like, oh
yeah,
yeah, we all knew that.
Yeah, I feel like Obi-Wan should have just done like a finishing move that didn't kill him, but like he thought maybe he killed him, and he's like, oh wait, he's still alive. Like,
or push him down a cliff or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, you know what I mean, that's what it would have made it for me. Something that would have made sense. Or even do that dumb thing from The Force Awakens, where like a mountain splits in half, or you know, like
mm-hmm.
now from a physical distance, even if you do your force powers, like you're so far away, or it's like you're so unfocused. Give me that. This seemed dumb, where Obi-Wan would just kind of realize, I beat you. All right, I gotta go now. And Vader just kind of like, I thought he maybe would do another attack and fall down, or sort of like lose a hand again, you know, like something.
Yeah.
It was good. I just expected way more from the hype, I understood, but it was fine. Like, the show has been great. It's a lot more than I thought. Like, overall, it's a better show. Unfortunately, it's better than Boba Fett, so.
Yeah.
Which is not much to say lately.
I mean, yeah, definitely the behind The Mandalorian. Like, Mandalorian's still top tier Star Wars TV show stuff.
This is
like a very solid second place in the Star Wars Disney Plus stuff.
The only thing I have a question about is that Luke was horribly traumatized as a 10-year-old Sith warrior, and he just does not bring it up. It's like, how would you not keep talking about this?
And how are Owen and Beru like caught unawares by stormtroopers? They had like this, like they always just had guns ready to go, just like.
They just forgot it this time?
Because, yeah, they said, like, especially this, like, the last one, they set Beru up as just, like, this, like, she's, like, ready to go, just, like, give me my guns, we gotta defend the house, like, and then.
They only had one gun?
I think they had, I think it was, like, a hunting rifle and then, like a blaster or something.
Well, because it made it seem like they only had the one gun, because eventually Owen and Beru were just, like, hand-to-hand combating the Sith woman, so. Like, I get him losing the gun during the fight, and then him trying to use the like metal pipe as a weapon, fine. Beru just like jumps on her. So that's why I couldn't understand. Again, Luke in New Hope made it seem like Luke hasn't seen anything on Tatooine. It's like, no, being chased by like a Sith Inquisitor is not like a common occurrence.
Yeah.
And he's fine. Like, I don't think Owen and Aunt Beru explained anything to Luke, right? Like, there was no, like, hey, we gotta hide you, someone's coming after you, or, like, oh, there's a bad person.
They said it was, like, Tusken Raiders were, like, attacking farms again or something.
But that's not a Tusken Raider. It's like,
yeah.
You know instantly, because this thing doesn't have a rifle, it doesn't use a lightsaber, and, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, so awkward when it's, like, they're trying to catch it in the story.
Yeah, maybe his fall wiped out his memory. Just like, I don't know. They said there was Tusken Raiders, and I woke up in the desert.
It's not like he's five and kind of like, all right, you have like a little bit of a foggy memory.
He's 10.
He's going to remember that. And even then, I thought maybe like she would get stopped before she sees him in person, or it's more like Owen kind of confronts her and sort of, you know, halts it from getting this far. So he's always been like, he loves Luke enough to do this for him. But no, Luke is straight up like in it and running around and like hiding for his life. So yeah, that's the one thing they just sort of like didn't have to show, but now they did. It's just got more questions. But yeah, that's it from me. What about you, Zach?
Well, I just saw a bunch of TV stuff too. So,
I did see the first two episodes of Umbrella Academy.
Oh, of season three?
Season three, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you watch all of it, or did you just watch like the first?
I'm behind it. I have to watch season two still. I only watched season one.
Okay. I'm not gonna talk about it yet because it's like very. Well,
I know about the Sparrow Academy and stuff because it's everywhere. Trailers and everywhere. So.
But just to like, not really a spoiler, but to explain what's going on. And in the comic, originally the Sparrow Academy is from an alternate world, or at least that's what's hinted at in the comic. They never got to like the third arc yet. It's only been, I think they only did four arcs, but they basically started fusing arcs together for the TV show. Cause it's just like, okay, so basically, yeah, like, they sort of fuse. I think it's four arcs. It's, like, regular Umbrella Academy, then it's, like, Dallas, and then it's Hotel Oblivion, and now they just got to Sparrow, like, in the comic. But they ended it on the Sparrow, like, 2 years ago. So this is, like, new. It's already, like, branched off. But in this, so the Sparrow Academy is, like, everyone but Ben, like, is new children. Like, are the other kids that existed in the past. So instead of like how the Umbrella Academy is like the seven that Hargreaves bought,
mm-hmm.
these are the other seven, or the other six that he would have bought instead. So he got like a whole different set of kids.
And one of them is just like a gelatinous cube or like a ball of slime or something.
His
like...
name's Christopher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a cube. I think he was a regular baby, but his powers manifested. Because I think, like, in the show, like, they're all, like, human-looking babies. But as soon as their powers manifested, that's when they, like, changed. But one of them, yeah, it's just a cube. And it does stupid things like zap and fly around and, like, and sort of, like, does, like, a robotic, like, talk. It's silly enough and funny. But the first two episodes are good. I feel like definitely if you're going to watch it, watch the first two episodes to kind of get back in the rhythm. And then just to get like more of it. But I'm going to probably watch an episode, you know, this week again. Just some certain episodes, they leave on cliffhangers. But the first episode definitely leaves you on it. Because like nothing really happens besides just introducing of the characters. And then like this plot really unveils by episode two. But yeah, the fact that it's like they really mentioned like, oh, these are the other kids that like Hargreaves didn't adopt. So they're not in an alternate timeline where Hargreaves, he sees all the like, because he knows his kids go back. He goes, well, like, I'm going to try to like change that and just get like new kids and try a whole different method.
Mm-hmm.
So. Looking forward to more of that. Anyway, let's go back to you. What have you been watching?
Well, yeah, like I said, all TV stuff. So I saw the first episode of Westworld season 4. So Westworld's back. It's been 2 years since season 3 ended. So, but we're back. Did you catch up with Westworld, Chris? Or
nope, I took a break because I also Westworld season 3 was like a roller coaster of good and bad.
Well, I think the one thing it was still very complicated, but it wasn't as like like a crazy like red string diagram like season two was. Like season two was just like almost nonsensical of just like trying to figure out what the hell was going on. But season three was like at least like slightly more straightforward, even though it was still pretty complicated. And season three and then definitely season four, we're in Future World now, basically, which is like the movie sequel to Westworld was Future World, where like the like hosts got out into like the real world and were like sort of like infiltrating like governments and stuff. So that was the big thing in three. Now even it's four too. Like it's basically like a bunch of like the hosts are like out in the real world now, and just kind of like this like multiple factions of people of like hosts, like their own agendas in the real world, try to like accomplish things. And Aaron Paul got introduced in season three, and he's like a human, but he gets like kind of dragged into like the like this like you know, Dolores, Maeve, Charlotte, William, like conflict. And yeah, season four premiere was pretty good. It picks up like 8 years after season three, so there's like a whole bunch of stuff happened in between end of season three and now season four. And but then it kind of picks up like where like Aaron Paul kind of like he was like in Aaron Paul and Maeve were kind of like a team by the end of season three, and they're like doing a bunch of like kind of black ops, like they're like going around like attacking different like places. They like, kind of became like this team now. But then Aaron Paul kind of gets dragged back into action because something happens in the premiere. And it wasn't in the first episode, but like, they're going to have like they're gonna introduce another new like Delos world at some point this season, which is like a 1930s mafia world. Looks like Maeve and Aaron Paul, Caleb have to like go into it at one point.
It kind of reminds me of like Star Trek, where they have to do like a holodeck episode.
Yeah. And it looks it kind of seems like for Dolores, like it seems like because something pretty like significant happened at the end of season three for her, but now it seems like just like they haven't confirmed this. Like this is just my theory, but it kind of feels like she might be in like a like Matrix Resurrections kind of thing, where it's like she's like in like a Neo situation where she's like she doesn't remember who she was. She's like a new character, quote unquote, and she's like a game designer designing games. I was like, is this like copy Resurrections? Is this like the Neo plot from Resurrections?
So I guess sort of like meta like that.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see like if that plays out. Like the same way, which that would be such a weird of like, did they write them at the same time? They couldn't have written it after Resurrections. Resurrections was last year, so it's like they've been working on this for like 2 years. So that would just be a weird like coincidence of like, yeah, we both just had like our main character forget who they were, become game designers in like a meta commentary on like storytelling and stuff. But yeah, so that's an HBO. It's every Sunday on HBO, and then HBO Max. I think it's a 8 episode season 4. So, and then also Wellington Paranormal is back. Speaking of HBO Max stuff, although I mean it's up to like 4 seasons on New Zealand TV, but we only got it like in the US on like the CW, like, and then HBO Max. Like I think season 1 and 2 is last year, like last fall was like. They aired season 1 and 2, so now they're starting to air season 3 and season 4. I'm assuming is coming up because it's only like six episodes each season.
All right.
So, but yeah, such a fun show. Like I mean, everything in the what we do in the Shadows universe is great, and like Wellington Paranormal is like so great too. Like just great mockumentary. Like just like the dry New Zealand like humor of just like. Them like everyone just like not really reacting broadly or like just like very low-key like all this like, crazy stuff happening, and like they like yeah the main duo like Minogue and O'Leary are so like so great, especially Minogue, who's just like a giant idiot. Just like he's just, like all of it, he's just like he's constantly just saying like stupid things or doing stupid things. And like a lot of fun like episodes so far where it's like they had like deal with like for season three, it's like they had to deal with like this guy who can like shapeshift and he runs like a haunted house. He basically turns into like your like whatever you fear the most, like he turns into it.
Oh, I think it is based on a real monster.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of stuff is based on like actually like folklore and stuff. Or like just like there's an episode, like the second episode of season three is they're like tracking down like this like Bigfoot creature called a Mero, which is like actually like a New Zealand kind of like supernatural like legend. But that episode also has Rhys Darby comes back as his like what we do in the shadows werewolf character, but now he's like a park ranger. So like he's like the park ranger at the park that they go to like find this Bigfoot that's like running around. He's just like constantly making like threatening like he's like making threatening like comments behind his breath. It was like. And then like there's this part where like they're trying to figure out who is like making these people disappear in the woods, and it's just, like, well, it's like O'Leary and Minogue are like, oh Sarge, we have an idea because like the park ranger is a werewolf because we were in a documentary with him and he was a werewolf. And then he's like, oh, are you gonna stay out here in the woods with us? He's like, well, it's a full moon tonight, so no, I'm not. Unless you want to get ripped apart. And they're like, what? You say you're going to rip us apart? He's like, oh, no, it's fine. I forgot my radio. But yeah, there's been like little sprinklings of like what we do in the shadows movie characters throughout this whole show, which has been great too. It'd be awesome at one point if they crossed over with like the FX series.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like whoever owns the copyright or like whatever, like.
Well, I mean, Tyke and Jermaine created this whole show. So I mean,
they're the creators, but it's like, yeah. It could just be like a television, right? Where it's like, no, we don't want to cross over.
Well, like, yeah, I guess because it's like, I guess Warner has like the US rights now because they're putting it on CW and HBO Max. And then the FX show is Disney, technically, I guess, because obviously Disney owns FX, so. Oh, I guess it did. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. I guess it did end. So this is the last batch. So like season four was the final season. So I guess we'll have to see like the rest of the show for like this whatever this run is on CW and HBO Max. But yeah, it's great. If you haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out. Like start from the beginning on HBO Max. Just start going through it. It's hilarious. If you like the mockumentary stuff, like kind of the humor of like the New Zealand What We Do in the Shadows kind of thing. It's super funny.
Mm.
And then last thing is I saw Dark Side of the 90s is back for a second season, which is the Vice show. So they've been doing like they have like a bunch of they have like Dark Side of the Ring, which is wrestling. They had Dark Side of Football, and they also have Dark Side of the 90s. So last season they did like a bunch. They did like the Beanie Baby craze and like Jerry Springer and like Baywatch was an episode. And this season they're doing some pretty interesting like stuff. So they've. Like I think they're three episodes in, so they've done like the Arsenio Hall show, they've done the Real World and MTV, and then they just did an episode about cops, and then I think they should do like a two-part like UFC, like the origins of UFC.
Really?
And I think
have you ever seen original UFC fights from like
it's nuts. It's like just like it's like Mortal Kombat. Basically, it's like a guy like karate yeah. fighting like a wrestling strongman and stuff.
No weight class.
Yeah.
No concern for like if these fighters actually had a lesson.
It's like what would happen if a karate guy fought a boxing guy? That's basically what the like origins of UFC.
Sometimes I'm like I kind of miss that where it's like. It's just unknown people fighting each other.
Did you ever see the strongman fighting on like it was on like FX back in the day? That's where like Butterbean came from. It was like he was on like the strongman boxing where they also had like they just pulled like drunk bar guys into the ring and just like had them slug each other to death basically.
Jeez. I mean, it's super dangerous, don't get me wrong, but there's something where it's like kind of cool to see mixed martial artists and it's like truly mixed, not just like the top four styles going at it. It's just been like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it's karate, kempo maybe, regular jiu-jitsu, Krav Maga, like that's it. Like that's basically all the styles. Everything else is like, yeah, you would not use this in a fight, but I would love to see someone who thinks they could use it in a real fight. Like capoeira, this guy's gonna try to fight this dude with capoeira. Like, yeah, I want to see that.
And yeah, I think season one is on Hulu. If you want, like, so you can watch the first season on Hulu, and then. Season two, you have to have like, I mean, it's on like the Vice cable network. So you have to have some sort of like cable or streaming that has Vice on it. But it'll probably be on Hulu at some point because the first season obviously was. So, but just super interesting. They get like a ton of people who are like involved in whatever the subject is, like the producers or people who are actually on camera. Like they had a bunch of like the real world cast members plus like producers behind the scenes for real world episode. And yeah, it's Dark Side of the Night. It's not quite as dark as like Dark Side of the Ring, because some of the Dark Side of the Rings just get so fucking dark because like wrestling is so like horrible.
It's just a cocaine world of business decisions. Plus, like the reenactment parts are pretty funny because you can't show the actors' faces that well, but it's like funny when they're wearing the outfits.
Yeah. So yeah, so like Dark Side of the 90s is a little bit lighter, but there's still some like kind of like some darker episodes and stuff. So the first episode had like there was like an episode about like the Viper Room and stuff and like the Death of River Phoenix. And then there's also like the Heaven's Gate Branch Davidians episode was also in the first season. So it's mostly like a little bit lighter, but it's still some dark, like it's not like all like super fun like BD Babies, like that's probably the lightest episode of the whole thing so far. Even though, but I mean, people still lost like they lost thousands of dollars on the BD Babies because they like invested in, like their like life savings in them and they crashed, so it's like. Still terrible things are happening, but it's not like people were dying over BDBs, but yeah, definitely interesting if you're into like it's sort of in that like true crime, I guess. I mean, it's not, I guess, I mean, some of it's true crime, but like it's some of it's just like, but like documentary true crime kind of stuff. If you're into that, it's interesting to check out. And it's narrated by Mark McGrath too, so.
Like from Sugar Ray?
Sugar Ray, yeah. He's the narrator for every episode, so. So that's what I've been watching. So we can wrap things up for the week. Definitely head over to the site. We've got our, you can check out our Invasion USA commentaries up there right now. That was our commentary for June. You can sync that up on Prime Video and watch that along with us. And we'll have another commentary coming up soon for July, so stay tuned for what that's going to be. And all the other regular features are up there as well. You can check out all the shows we talk about. Check out, we have our Game Box 2.0, so you can check out what games we played for June right now on the site as well. And so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.